I meant to put that up on the board for you children, actually, when I, after the spot the difference picture. That's the verse, isn't it? So we might as well have it up on the board while I speak about it. It's there in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And these are the words: whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So you may want to turn there in your Bible, and you'll see it there on the screen as well. And you should have a sheet which will help you see where we're going this morning. So this verse then gives a really good summary of how we're to live our lives if we're Christians, okay? How we're to approach life. How we're to view life. And it's a really good reminder of just how rich and full and satisfying and all-encompassing, actually, the Christian life is. Jesus said when he was here on earth, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it in all its fullness. Jesus came into the world to bring us back into what life is really, how life was really meant to be. And this verse gives us a really good summary of what life is meant to be and how it's meant to be lived. Now, there you are then lying in bed in the morning. I wonder what you're like in the morning. What you're like at getting out of bed. Are you grumpy until you have your first cup of tea or your seventh cup of coffee or something like that? Are you wanting to stay in bed in the morning? What gets you up? What are you living for? Well, for a Christian, here is what should get us up. Here is what should motivate us, that everything we do and everything we say has a new significance. Everything we can do it for Jesus. We can do it to please him. We can do it to honor him. We can do it in fellowship with him. And as we get up, we realize life is a gift from God, and salvation is of the grace of God, and everything we have comes from God. And so we do everything with thankfulness to God. That's how we should live. Now, I realize it doesn't always work like that, does it? We don't always feel like that. We don't get up in the morning. Every Christian gets up in the morning, leaps out of bed and says hallelujah and sings their way through the day. But here is this reminder of just how we should live and what we've been brought into if we're Christians. Now, perhaps you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Well, this verse is actually going to tell you what being a Christian is all about and what you're missing out on. Because what's a Christian? A Christian is somebody who has come to into life, we might put it like that. Being brought back into a right relationship with God. See, the Bible says our sin, our wrong, cuts us off from knowing God. We try and live without God, don't we? We try and do our own thing, be gods of our own lives. And a Christian then is someone who's come to acknowledge that and admit that and go, well, and come to Jesus and trust in him and find forgiveness of sin and new life in him. And so as we come to that, as we become Christians, then we begin to live in a new way. We begin to live for new reasons as we begin to live in relationship to God. And so the Bible says if you're not a Christian, then you don't know that. And that's really what life is all about. That's what true life is. That's what we were created to have at the beginning. So I'm praying that if you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, that you'll just have a desire for this sort of life yourself. Okay, so we've got 4 points this morning, 4 P's. I know that they're rather tenuous P's. I've been trying to get some other ones. Some of them are stretching it a bit. So we've got the parameters of the Christian life, and then the purpose of the Christian life, and then the power for the Christian life, and then the posture of the Christian life. Okay, so if you think of a better P for any of those afterwards, then you can tell me. Okay, Lois and I have been trying to think of some other ones. Anyway, here we go. The parameters of the Christian life. Now, you children, you go, whatever's parameters. By that we mean, what's the scope? How far does the Christian life go? How far does it go in our lives? How far is the impact to be in our lives? Well, we see it here in this verse, don't we? We're reminded here, whatever you do in words or deeds. So we're reminded this morning that everything we do and everything we say and all our conversations and by implication all our thoughts, that most of us think before we speak, not all of us, but most of us do, everything is shaped and impacted by the fact that we're Christians. So we're being told in this verse, then, aren't we, that being a Christian, it's not something just has an impact on what we do on a Sunday. It's not just having an impact. It doesn't just mean we're people who go to church and sort of perform a few religious rituals. It makes a difference to everything in our lives. Now, those of us who've been here every week and we've been going through Colossians, we really ought not to be that surprised in some ways, because Paul has been showing us, as we've gone through this letter, what it is to be a Christian. What an amazing, revolutionary thing it is to be a Christian. That it's just, it's the most incredible thing that could ever happen to you. So let me just remind you, chapter 1, verse 13, Paul describes becoming a Christian like this. Listen to this. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, and he's brought us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So to be a Christian is to be set free from the power of darkness and to be brought in to Jesus' kingdom, the kingdom of love. I mean, that's just an incredible difference. Or in chapter 2 and in verse 13, he says, to become a Christian is to be taken from death to life. You were dead, and now you're alive spiritually. Or in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, he likens it to being raised from the dead, raised with Christ. He speaks about it being like a new person. So to be a Christian isn't just sort of, you know, oh, I'm going to start going to church, and I'm going to be a bit more religious. A Christian is someone that God has worked in and completely changed on the inside. And so we're not surprised then, if we understand what it is to be a Christian, that it changes everything about life. It brings new purpose to everything we do. Whatever you do in word and deed. We're thinking about the parameter. How far does this go? It goes to every area of our lives. Actually, just think about it for a moment. Paul has been speaking about words and deeds in this chapter, hasn't he? So in terms of words, we read about it, didn't we? Verse 8, he's been saying, if you're a Christian, then anger and blasphemy and filthy language and lying, well, they've got to go, haven't they? And instead, kind words and gentle words and true words and words that honour the Lord are to be there instead. And in terms of deeds, well, verse 12, you remember, tenderness and patience and kindness and love, and those are the things that are going to characterize our lives. But now Paul's sort of, he's extending the parameters even further as he's saying, whatever you do. So if you're doing the washing up after lunch today, or sticking not all of it goes in the dishwasher, does it? Or you're doing some maths at school tomorrow, or you're playing a game, or you're pursuing your hobby, or you're doing the most boring task at work, or you're speaking to your neighbour, you're sweeping your path, or you're doing your garden, or you're eating a meal. Whatever you're doing, whatever conversation you're having, everything is affected and shaped by the fact that you are a Christian. If you are a Christian here this morning, it changes everything. In fact, There's nothing you could do, or there's nothing you can say, and you could go, oh, actually, being a Christian doesn't make any difference here. Everything we do is changed and impacted by the fact that we're God's people. So there's a first challenge for us this morning. Have we grasped the parameters, the scope, the reach of being a Christian? Let's be honest with ourselves this morning. Are we compartmentalizing our lives? Are there areas of our lives where we're really going, actually, I'm not going to let the fact that I'm a Christian shape that or make any impact there? Are there areas of our lives where we're keeping the fact that we're a Christian, basically we're keeping the Lord out of it? The parameters. It's got to change everything, brothers and sisters, here this morning. Just note again before we move on that in this chapter, Paul is addressing every area of life, isn't he? Some of it we've already seen. So we could say our personal life, so verses 1 to 8. Our church life, that's verses 8 to 16. Our family life that we're going to come on to next, verses 18 to 21. Our work life, he's going to go on to speak about how we should be at work. You could even say in chapter 4, beginning of chapter 4, our social life. So every aspect of life, personal life, church life, family life, work life, social life, it's all impacted by the fact that we're God's people. Okay, that's the first thing, the parameters. Now let's think about the purpose. the purpose of the Christian life. How does the verse go on? You can see it on the board or in the Bible. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I think that means more than one thing, but it certainly means this, that it reminds us that as Christians, everything we do it for Jesus. Okay? In order to honor him, in order to please him, we do it in relationship with him. Look down to verse 23, just a bit further down. Paul is there he's speaking to workers about doing their jobs. And he uses similar language, doesn't he? Look at verse 23. Whatever you do, there it is again. Whatever you do, he says, do it heartily. Do it with enthusiasm. Do it wholeheartedly. And then he says, do you see what he says? As to the Lord and not to men. As if you were doing it for the Lord. That's really what he means there. So when we become Christians, and the purpose of our lives is to do everything for God, so everything for Jesus in relationship to him, thinking about him. Now, that's a wonderful truth to grasp because it gives everything a new significance. It gives everything a purpose, a new purpose and a new joy. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, another letter he wrote to a church in Corinth, chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Okay, so whatever you're doing, if you make a meal, I realize some of you have never made a meal, some of you blokes, or if you eat a meal, you've all done that, you do it to the glory of God. You can be thankful to God for it and eat it for his glory. So when you do something, it doesn't matter how trivial it might seem, you can do it for Jesus. Now, you might be here, you might not be a Christian, you might think, this sounds, why would I want to do it for Jesus? Why would I want to do things for somebody else? But actually, on an earthly level, we get this, don't we? Because we realize that there's a real joy in doing things for other people. There's a real joy, especially for people we love, to do things that we know for them and we know please them. There's a real joy in that, isn't there? And actually, if we just do things for ourselves and just live for ourselves, there's an emptiness there. And that's what we discover as we begin to live for Jesus Christ. We discover that that's what God created us for. And that's where true joy comes. That's where true meaning comes. That when we begin to live in relationship to the God who made us and serve him and please him and love him and know him, that is where true joy is found. And true life is found. And so, Christians, the purpose of our lives is to live for Jesus. And whatever we do it for him. And of course, if we're Christians, we know really that's just the response, isn't it, to all he's done for us. Because whatever we could do for him is nothing, is it, compared to what he's done for us. I mean, he's loved us. He's come into our world for us. He's lived for us and died for us and done everything for us and given everything to us. And so, you know, if we're Christians here this morning, it's our glad response, isn't it, to live our lives for him. Our regrets, if we're Christians here this morning, I imagine this is the case, it's certainly the case for me, our regret is that we don't live for him as well as we should. No, our regret isn't that I've got to live for Jesus today. Our regret is, I haven't lived for him as well as I should, because I want to. And of course, we've discovered this, haven't we? He's not a tyrant master. He's a loving saviour and friend who is more worthy of our lives than anyone else. So perhaps you're a Christian here this morning and you've lost sight of these things, and you've lost sight of how you're supposed to live. And what do you need to do? Well, really, you need to do what we always need to do is to come back to the cross, isn't it? And remember our Savior and think of all he's done for us and how worthy of our lives he is. And of course, living for Jesus adds great significance, because who is Jesus? Well, he's the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords. So you children, you can understand. If you were given a job to do for the Queen, well, it would make, you know, if your mum and dad tells you to go out and do some gardening and dig up some weeds, well, you go, ah. But if the Queen, I know she's not going to do it, but if the Queen phoned up and said, can you come and do some weeding for me? Well, you'd be there, wouldn't you? Because it's a significance of the Queen. Well, you can do everything in our lives that we do for the King of Kings, for King Jesus. And that really it takes us on to another aspect, because in the name of Jesus means we're doing it as his representatives. So not only do we do things for him, but we're doing it really on his behalf. We're ambassadors. That's one of the words the Bible uses, isn't it? Ambassadors for Jesus. So every time you speak and every time you act, you're not just speaking on your own. You're speaking for Jesus. People are looking at you and seeing, and it's reflecting on Jesus. Some Christians have a fish on their car, don't they? It's a sort of a statement. This car is being driven by a Christian. I always think when I see one, well, you better drive well and carefully. I think it might be not without significance. I don't think any of the cars in the car park have got a fish on the back. I don't know what I'm saying about our driving. But the truth is that everything we do is done as representatives of Jesus Christ. Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, representing him. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? That the Lord would allow us to be his representatives. And that just, as I keep saying, adds such purpose to our lives. It's what eternal life is. Okay, we must hurry on. What's the third P? So we've got the parameters of the Christian life. It covers everything, all of it. We've got the purpose. We do it for Jesus, to please him. What's the power for it? You say, well, how can I do that? I mean, this is what I want to do, but I feel so weak. Well, that's also in that expression, isn't it? Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because we could say calling on the name of the Lord Jesus, looking to him, in reliance on him for his strength. I mean, that's a really good, wonderful thing, that as we live the Christian life, so we say, this is how I'm supposed to live. We haven't got to do that on our own. We can look to the Lord. In fact, that's part of walking with him. And we look to him and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your strength. I need your grace. And it's a wonderful thing that whatever we're doing, it doesn't matter how trivial it is, we can commit it to the Lord. We can ask for his help. We can ask for his strength. We can ask for his blessing. Actually, brothers and sisters, that's a really good... It's not infallible, but it's a really good indication of whether something you're doing is right or not. Can you pray about it? Can you commit it to the Lord? Can you ask his blessing on it? As you watch that film or read that book or begin that relationship or have that conversation or whatever it be, can you pray about it? Can you commit it to the Lord? Can you ask the Lord's blessing on it? Or are you trying to sort of push the... you all know what I mean. Are you trying to push the Lord out of your thoughts? Is it... It's a good indication, isn't it, of whether something's right or not. So, brothers and sisters, the power to live the Christian life isn't found in me. It's in the Lord. And so all the time we're looking to him and we're committing our ways to him and we're asking for grace from him and we're saying, Lord, here I am. I've got this conversation. I've got this thing to do. Help me to do it for you. Help me to honor you in it. We need to cultivate that, don't we, in our lives. More and more, that attitude of going through the day. So we wake up in the morning, and of course we all leap out of bed and go, hallelujah, and then we pray, and then we commit the day to the Lord, and we ask for his help and his strength. And perhaps if you're a Christian here this morning, and you're going, well, I know what Hugh's saying, and I know it's right, but I'm not really living that. Maybe the reason is because you're not looking to the Lord. You're not praying. You're not asking for his grace, strength. Okay, so we've got the parameters of the Christian life and the purpose of the Christian life and the power for the Christian life. And then lastly, the posture for the Christian life. I looked at definition in the dictionary of posture can be an approach or attitude, okay? So what's the attitude? What's our attitude to be to the Christian life as we live the Christian life? Well, here it is. How does the verse go on? I'm not making it up, am I? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. How does it finish? Giving thanks to God the Father through him. So what's the posture? What's the attitude of our Christian life? It's one of thankfulness. Thankfulness to God. A spirit of thankfulness. That awareness of all that we have to be thankful for. It's easy to grumble, isn't it? It's easy to complain. It's easy to view life in a negative way and focus on all that's hard. And the truth is, we do have hard things. Of course we do. But we have so much to be thankful for. Life is a gift, isn't it? I mean, it's not an accident. We're not here by chance. Life is a gift from the God who made us and made everything and gives life to everything. And we know that every good thing comes down, everything we have comes from God. The Bible tells us that in James chapter 1. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from above. All that we have comes from God. Our life comes from God. Our health, our strength, our food, all the things that we enjoy, all the blessings of life, all the good things, a lovely day like today. It's a gift, so we should be thankful for it. And it can change our attitude to things, can't it? If we're thankful, if we have a spirit of thankfulness. So, you know, you do it, you've got a job, and it may not be the most interesting. But you can thank your Heavenly Father, you've got a job, and that job, from that job you get money, and you can feed your family, or buy nice things, or give to the work of the gospel, and you can be thankful for that. And you're at school, and you've got to do maths, and it's hard. But you can thank the Lord for maths. I mean, we'd be in trouble without maths, wouldn't we? I'm not going to get into that. I don't understand maths well enough. And you've got a teacher to teach you. And you've got a school to go to when there's lots of children around the world who haven't got a school to go to. And you can be thankful for that. Or you sit down for a meal and you give thanks because it's come from God, ultimately. This God who sends the sun and the rain and causes the crops to grow. And then you remember on top of that, that salvation is, you haven't earned it, have you? It's a gift from God and it's free and you're forgiven and you're on your way to heaven and you're blessed beyond measure and you're thankful. What did the verse I began the service with? It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Acknowledge his faithfulness, acknowledge his goodness. Now, are we doing it? It's so much more satisfying to live life like that, isn't it? With a spirit of thankfulness. Oh, isn't it, you know, when we grumble and complain, it's just life-sapping and unsatisfying. And being thankful is so helpful to others, isn't it? You know, you meet somebody who's thankful, even in the midst of troubles and difficulties. It's inspiring. It's encouraging. And if you meet somebody who just grumbles and complains, it does bring you down, doesn't it? So brothers and sisters, it's a way to encourage you. It's a simple way to encourage each other. You don't have to necessarily say some super spiritual, amazingly clever thing to somebody to be an encouragement to them. You can just be a thankful person. And it's a way of witnessing to others, isn't it, as well? Just to express our thankfulness to God for all that we have. So we need to ask the Lord to help us to be more thankful. So, brothers and sisters, here's a great verse for us this morning. And perhaps it's an encouragement. Can I say this? Perhaps it's an encouragement for you if you know you can't do what you once did. You know, you can't serve in the church like you once did. You can't help other people out as you once used to do. And perhaps you're the one that needs to be helped. And you may feel, wow, what can I do for the Lord, really? You can do everything for the Lord. You can do all the little things in life. You can do it for him. You can serve the Lord as much as anybody in the church, even though you might be frail and weak. So, do you know this life? Can I finish with this? Do you know this life? This is what we're called to. Not to live without God. Not to just live and exist, but to know the God who made us. And to live in relationship with him and do everything for him. That's what we're called to. That's what we're invited to. And if you don't know that, then you can come to Jesus. You can confess your sin. You can acknowledge that you haven't lived like that and you've ignored God. And you acknowledge the seriousness of that because the Bible tells us the seriousness of that. And you can come and find life and peace in Jesus Christ. You can pray to him. You can ask him to help you, deal with you. And he will, as he's dealt with many of us here this morning.